Tonight on WVW Broadcast Network News, I'm joined by Kevin Freeman, the host of the Economic War Room. We'll talk about CPI, Consumer Price Index. Is the rate of inflation really 2 or 3%? Well, you know, if you go to the grocery store, it's much higher than that. What about housing and energy? Why are they manipulating the real rate of inflation? And what does it mean for your purchasing power and destruction of your wealth and savings? And political correctness, how it's helping to destroy our economy, and how you can prepare. WVW Broadcast Network News and Commentary begins right now.
This is WVW Broadcast Network News and Commentary with Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the WVW Broadcast Network News and Commentary broadcast. I'm Brannon House. My guest tonight, Kevin Freeman of the Economic War Room. He's the author of several books. He has a very popular television broadcast. We carry it on our platform now. Honored to do that at WVWTV.com. I hope you'll check it out. And he joins us tonight from the Economic War Room in the Texas, Dallas, Texas area. Kevin, thank you for making time on your busy schedule for us.
Brandon, it's always good to be with you.
Hey, give us your bio. Don't be too humble about it, because I want our audience to understand how you've been in the thick of it, related not only to economics, but national security and the fact that we are in an economic war. And this has caused you to be involved in meetings in the intelligence arena. So give us your bio, would you?
Yeah, well, I started out in the investment business. My father was a stockbroker. I became an investment advisor. I worked for a man named John Templeton, who was probably the foremost global investor of his day. In 2008, as I was managing money for clients, I noticed that there was some unusual activity. I traced it down. Turned out it was economic warfare, financial terrorism. It was a big part of taking down our stock market in 2008. The Pentagon heard of my research, hired me as a Pentagon consultant. I wrote several papers for them, did a lot of work, got plugged into the national security community, and found out, guess what? Warfare is different these days. It's not the traditional drop bombs, shoot missiles, pull out tanks. It's an economic war primarily. The Chinese have been waging it against us. So also had those in the Middle East and Russia and other places. So I became an expert on that, studied Chinese economic warfare in detail, have done a lot of consulting for the three-letter agencies of the world, and we launched, written a couple of books on it, both bestsellers. Launched a television program, as you mentioned, Economic War Room, where we're just trying to help people navigate these very difficult economic times with their personal money, but also to weaponize their money so that they can use their weapon, their investments, their spending, their giving to help bring America the right direction, not the wrong direction.
Excellent. Thank you for that to set the table. So here's where, as we're broadcasting here on January 26th, 2021, America is right in the middle of a Marxist revolution. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a color revolution. It's America's version of a Marxist revolution. And we're watching, President Reagan actually called this liberal fascism, where the corporations team up with the government to control thought and the power of the people. And we're seeing that happen before our very eyes.
And you know, I this radio audience and TV audience knows this, but in 1995, I wrote a book called Reclaiming a Nation at Risk. 1995 predicted we would move toward corporate fascism in America. People thought that was crazy. But you and I and a few others that we run with, that's what we do. We predict trends. It's not too hard if you study history and know the philosophies and ideas that are ruling the day, is it?
No, it's not hard at all. In fact, President Reagan said it in 1975, when fascism comes to America, it will come in the cloak of liberalism. And we're seeing that happen. That's when Jack Dorsey can decide if you're worthy of speech. If you supported President Trump, you're not worthy of speech. If you oppose the environmental agenda, maybe you're not worthy of speech. If you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, you're not worthy of speech. And the corporations have been shutting people out, whether they use the banking system or whether they use the social media platforms, to say, look, you don't have a right to purchase things or use our bank because you believe in the Second Amendment. That's what we're seeing happen today. They're pushing this mass agenda through what they're calling ESG, environmental, social justice, and governance, to control people at all levels using their investing, their spending, and their giving.
Interesting. You know, as we're broadcasting today, our friend Mike Lindell, who's a regular guest here now, he's just been booted off Twitter. Again, his great crime, simply wanting free and fair elections. And of course, now he's seeing big box stores kick him out with his product, MyPillow.com, which, by the way, he called me up a week ago last night and said, hey, I like what you guys are doing over there. He's been a guest several times. If you put in the promo code WVW at MyPillow.com, I'll kick back a percentage of the sales to your network to keep you guys going and growing. So again, maybe this is a great way for you to support Mike Lindell and his entrepreneurial endeavors, as well as our broadcast network, by going to MyPillow.com and then using the promo code WVW. But as we, you know, interviewed him, he basically said, look, I'm probably the most visible entrepreneur, conservative, visible Christian entrepreneur in America. He said, they're starting with me and they're going to work their way down. You want to comment on that, Kevin?
Yeah, well, can you imagine if 40 years ago, for example, somebody said, hey, I'm Muslim and I support this view. And the corporation said, whoa, we don't subscribe to that. We don't agree with that. We're going to prevent you from having economic access. People would be up in arms about that. Or 20 years ago, when 9/11 happened, if we said, hey, you know, you're Muslim, you can't be a part of this banking system because look what happened at 9/11. Well, that would have been considered heinous and evil. But they're doing it now to Christians, to conservatives, kicking them off platforms. This is true fascism. And you know, the Antifa groups, they're the fascists. That's the problem.
So as we look at what fascism is really all about, and you're laying the foundation for how it's begun here and how we're going forward, let's move into the economic realm. I mean, obviously, we're already talking about it. If we're talking about destroying someone's business, it expresses their Christian worldview, their entrepreneurial spirit, their questioning of big government, a stolen election, questioning a Marxist revolution or a color revolution, however you want to describe it. I mean, we already see economically what they're doing to Mike Lindell. So clearly, there's an economic factor here. We see people are being told, you're too conservative. We won't allow you to use our platform to raise funds for your conservative organization. I mean, how much longer is it before some banks actually tell some of these conservative nonprofit religious groups, libertarian groups, they're not welcome either? What do you see coming economically for Christians, for conservative Jews, libertarians? And what do you recommend historically to protect one's privacy if indeed the goal is the destruction of the wealth of conservatives or constitutionalists?
Well, think about it this way. The tyranny of the majority, and I'm not certain that a majority of the country truly believes. I think it's a small minority that's frightened a larger minority. But even if it were the majority, would we feel comfortable as a nation if 50.00001% had a certain view and they decided to deplatform or remove 49.99999%? That'd be horrible. And yet that's what we're seeing. We saw this, it's called Operation Chokehold, during the Obama administration, where they threw off gun makers or anyone that's associated with Second Amendment rights from the banking system. And they literally told the banks, you need to fire them as customers. Now, what we've been told all along is, hey, if you don't like it, build your own, right? So if you don't like being deplatformed from Twitter, build your own. So they built Parler, and they brought Parler up. Well, Amazon Web Services says, well, then you need to build your own internet access too. They're literally trying to enforce their viewpoint and silence any opposition. That's bad for the country. We've been told all along by the left, the liberals, the true liberals, and I don't mean the far progressive left, the true liberals all along has said we need every voice. And so years ago in Skokie, Illinois, there was a march by literal Nazis, and they were in a largely Jewish community, and they were going to have a free speech march. And the ACLU stood up and said, look, I hate what you're saying, and I disagree with you entirely, but I will defend your right to say it. Where are those liberals? Where are those that stand up for the right of free speech? If you deny people speech rights, then you do have horrible things that happened. Look what happened at the Capitol. And, you know, we denounce violence. I was not in the Capitol, did not go, don't know anybody who went into the Capitol. What they did was illegal and wrong. But those were people who felt silenced. Even Bill Maher said this. He said that poor woman who got shot was an Air Force veteran who had had her business stripped from her by these draconian COVID regulations, and she'd seen her economic future just crushed, and she was trying to stand up for what she believed. Well, she did it wrong, totally wrong. We should not do it that way. But the point is if you keep pushing and silencing people, and maybe 74, 75 million, maybe 80 million people that really feel this way, and we just keep, we're going to have problems, and it will be because we've abandoned the truth of the Constitution. We need to let people have their free speech rights. And if they're wrong in what they're saying, prove it in the marketplace of ideas. Don't just shut them down and shut them up.
Absolutely. Now, Kevin, we know that where you have religious liberty, you have economic liberty. Where you have political liberty, you have economic liberty. If you don't have free speech, you don't have freedom of religion, if you don't have the freedoms that are quickly moving here in America away, well, historically, you don't have economic liberty either. So what should people be doing as we see a move to take over and deplatform and crush and destroy the businesses and the financial wherewithal of conservatives? How can people protect themselves?
Well, that's been done by weaponizing money against us. So we as Americans that feel differently need to weaponize our money in favor of what we believe in. There's this big push to put you in progressive investment ideas, ESG, environmental, social justice, and governance. We've created an alternative called LSV, Liberty, Security, and Values. And the Economic War Room is training financial advisors who can come alongside clients and help them invest in things that promote their ideals. They help them give and spend and line their money lining up with what they believe in. And that they need to do it now more than ever before, because the reality is things have changed. For 40 years, my entire investing career started 40 years ago in 1981. For 40 years, we've seen interest rates coming down. Mortgage rates were 18% when I got into the investment industry. They're 2 to 3% today. Inflation was high. It's come down. The stock market was low. It was the Dow Jones Industrial Average was 800. It's over 31,000 today. What does that mean? Well, from 1966 to 1981, the stock market was in a rut. The Dow Jones Industrial Average went from 1,000 to 800. And from 1981 to 2021, the stock market's gone from 800 to 31,000. But something has dramatically changed politically, and it's about to change economically. And that's where inflation and all of these other considerations will come. People need advice. They can't just buy the index fund and own Twitter and Facebook and assume it'll all work out. They need to weaponize their money to protect their family, but also to join with others and help take America back.
How can they find out about what you're talking about? Is that on your website?
Yeah, economicwarroom.com/advisor. You can give us your financial advisor, and we'll train them how to help you in all of this. Economicwarroom.com will cover all of the information. You can read about ESG and LSV. You can download our battle plans. You can get all the information you need. And we're not just talking about investments in the stock market. We're talking about farmland. Maybe you want to own Bill Gates. That's where he's putting a lot of his money. That's an inflation play. Fracking is being banned by the Biden administration after he swore, I'm not against fracking. You know, first few days of his administration, he bans fracking on federal lands. Well, that's going to drive energy prices. How do you deal with all this massive change? That's why we set up the National Security Investment Consultant Institute, and you can learn about all of this at economicwarroom.com.
Economicwarroom.com. Well, let's talk about consumer price index. You know, they want to tell us the CPI, the government, they take these basket of goods and yet they move these baskets of goods around, not always the same. It's very hard to understand, frankly, even for experts, but they don't use housing and fuel consistently. I guess if the price of steak goes up, they replace it with chicken, thinking that's what families will go to. So again, it's not a static set of basket of products that people are purchasing on a regular basis that would set a true rate of inflation. So you got this messed up CPI telling us our rate of inflation is around 2 or 3% or so, when reality is it's probably closer to around 10%. And of course, we're seeing this in groceries. We're seeing this in housing. Housing market is going up, massive increase in the value or the price of housing. So as we move into an inflationary cycle, you know, the Bible defines wealth, true wealth, is gold, silver, houses, land, and cattle. Well, a lot of people probably don't want to own cattle. They can't fit that in their backyard. And maybe some people can't afford to buy too much farmland. And so you start running, how many houses can most people own? So you're kind of start limiting down what the average American can do to have a hedge against inflation, a hard asset, and then something that's private, that numismatic, 1933 and older, that's numismatic and private, off the radar, totally legal. So tell me what your thoughts are when it comes to gold and silver, Kevin Freeman.
Well, first, let me address inflation just a bit more. Not only is it much higher than we expect, and the way they game that includes things like they say, well, if your computer's gotten 50% faster, then its cost really has gone down. It hasn't gone down. You're paying the same amount for a computer. It may be faster, but you're still paying a high price for it. So inflation is much higher than the 2 to 3% they're claiming, but that's not the whole story. It's going to go even higher. What do you think happens when you mandate a $15 an hour minimum wage? That's going to drive prices higher. You go out to eat at a restaurant, prices are already higher because they can't serve people inside the restaurant, so they have to raise prices. Guess what? They're doing the same thing by banning fracking. That's going to cause energy prices to go higher. All of these things are going to push prices higher, and you're right. As you measure the price of things, you've got to measure it against something stable. If you measure it against dollars, paper money, bottom line is 95% of the value of paper money over the last 100 years or so has dissipated. But gold, you mentioned gold. You could buy a really nice man's suit for an ounce of gold in 1920. Guess what? You can buy a really fine man's suit, the best that you can get with an ounce of gold today, you know, a $2,000 suit or thereabouts. And that's held its value over time. And, you know, when you invest in gold, you can invest, like you said, there's all kinds of ways to invest. And the important thing is that is something stable that continues over time. And so I wrote a whole chapter in the book Game Plan, one of my books, on gold, why you should have it, how you should have it, what fits your personal situation. And I know you cover this and have for a long time, but it will be more important with the Biden administration than ever before. You got to go back to Jimmy Carter days before you'll see the kind of things that are happening in the precious metals markets that we will be seeing in coming weeks and months.
Well, with that, let me mention real quick a resource for you, and that is Swiss America. They've been a sponsor of our conferences. We traveled around the country for about 10 years. I met them through Michael Reagan, their CEO. I met through my friend Michael Reagan. I've worked with them for years. Wes Peters, one of their representatives, has become a close personal friend. He's come to many of our conferences and set up a resource table to simply ask questions, let you ask questions of him to educate you. I like them because they're not pressure. They don't twist your arm. They're really there to educate you, answer your questions, and then let you make a good decision based on your own due diligence. Now, we don't give financial advice here. I give personally financial opinion. But if you would like to call them and get a free packet of information, no obligation, you can call Wes. He even allows us to give out his cell phone number. You can also text him. A lot of people just text him and say, hey, Wes, I want the free packet of information. Here's my address. And he'll mail it to you. Go through it, write down your questions, and then you can follow up with Wes later. That number is 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585. Kevin, let's talk about, you know, a digital currency. If we have Facebook, Twitter, social media, you know, people are being deplatformed, shadow banned, just kicked off. We now are finding it harder and harder for people to walk into a bank and just say, hey, I want $4,000 or $5,000 in cash. I mean, the number of reports coming from people that their bank is saying, well, you have to fill out this form to get your cash. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. And of course, I think one reason why people that are educated on this topic like gold and silver is because it is a hedge against inflation. I like the old saying, I think it was Mark Twain who said, I'm not as concerned about the return on my money as I am the return of my money. So, you know, precious metals is one of those things I tell people, you shouldn't be thinking about it based on, oh, how much will I make? You should be thinking about it on, will I be able to preserve my initial investment that long term because of wealth destruction? And that is the goal. I mean, we always quote John Maynard Keynes, who said by a continuous process of inflation, we can destroy the majority of the people's wealth, and not one man in a million would know what we're doing. And we're watching the charts of the M1 money supply just shoot straight up, which is interesting. If one of the definitions of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods and services, well, hello, they have set the scenario for that with the pumping of the money supply into the market and quantitative easing or whatever you want to call it, and then you shut down businesses. So now you have a destruction and an elimination of goods and services. I mean, go to the grocery store, go to certain stores, it's still hard to find things with the shipping being disrupted through COVID. So if you have a limited supply of goods and services, which they're doing by destroying businesses and shutting them down, but you have an increase in the money supply, you're setting the stage for massive inflation. I'm even hearing people talk about hyperinflation. Is it over the top for people? I mean, here's an article right now, warning to investors, the likelihood of hyperinflation is getting stronger. Is it even appropriate to be using the H word, hyperinflation?
Well, you know, the reality is you talk about too much money chasing too few goods. That has been obscured by supply side economics, where we produce lots and lots of goods and where China produced lots and lots of goods. But we're in a different environment today. We did a whole show on this and the economic war room. It'll be available on WVW so that all your viewers can watch it. If you don't get that concept, just imagine 10 kids sitting around and each one of them has a dollar and you have 10 candy bars. I can tell you what the price of that candy bar is. It's $1. But if you give each of those kids $20 and you have 8 candy bars, I can tell you the price of that candy bar is going to go higher. And that is too much money chasing too few goods. And we're setting up both sides of that equation. We're cutting down on supply side and we're increasing the monetary input. And that last time that we did this was during the Carter administration. And that's when we saw mortgage interest rates go to 18% per year, 40 years ago when I started in this business. And that's when the stock market got crushed. We've got to no longer think of this as a stock market, but a market of stocks, because there are companies in there that may do well and companies that may do poorly. And like you, our show doesn't give investment advice because we don't know the situation of the viewers. But the bottom line is things have changed dramatically and we are beginning to look. And there's one thing, one more component of that hyperinflation. The dollar being the reserve currency of the world has protected us from hyperinflation because everybody at some point needs dollars to buy oil and gas. And that was necessary, and that's been the place since the Nixon administration put the petrodollar in place. That is being eroded rapidly. And if you want to see how it's been eroded, look at the price of Bitcoin. Once it was believed Donald Trump would not be reelected, look at the election date, look at the price of Bitcoin, it skyrocketed higher. So there is a massive change happening now. Now, the problem with Bitcoin is governments are going to see that and they're going to want their control. They're going to want to take that out. And China already has developed a digital currency. Governments will crush these currencies that have nothing behind them. They will come in and try and regulate, control. Janet Yellen's already said that with the now Treasury Secretary. She's already said that. So the bottom line is, yes, we're going to face massive potential inflation, and number one. And number two, if the dollar is no longer the reserve currency of the world, we will be in the same position as Venezuela and Zimbabwe and Weimar Germany, producing all of this debt. We've gone from $20 trillion in debt to $30 trillion in a blink of an eye. And if we owe $30 trillion, that is 8 times our federal spending, which is a lot higher than when I started in this business, when our federal spending, our federal debt was only 1.5 years of federal spending. Now it's 8. It's really, really frightening.
And what about the off-record debt or the unfunded liabilities, Medicare, Social Security? What does all that put our debt at? I read nearly $200 trillion recently.
It could easily be $200 trillion, and that is unfunded promises. What that means is that if a corporation makes a promise that we're going to give this pension or do this in the future or whatever, they have to account for that on their books, except for the United States of America, which is exempt from that. So we've made all these Social Security promises, drug benefit promises, wealth transfers, all of these promises that we've made. We're going to fund this and this and this and this. None of that's accounted for in real-time current year accounting. So we're money coming in and money going out. The problem is that just the interest alone, just the interest, if we have a 1% interest rate on our federal debt, which we approximately do, and we have $20 trillion in debt, that's about $200 billion a year, we can handle that because we take in over $3 trillion a year in taxes. But what if we have a $30 trillion debt and interest rates go to 6%? That's $1.8 trillion in annual interest payment. That wipes out Social Security. That wipes out our national defense. I mean, that is over half our tax revenues right there. And the economic impact is our tax revenues will go down because our economy will get crushed. That's how we enter hyperinflation and not even know it.
Absolutely. And of course, Janet Yellen was over there at the Federal Reserve. Now I guess she's going to be the Secretary of the Treasury, and she's already promoted the idea of negative interest rates. For maybe those who don't know, what are negative interest rates?
Negative interest rates are where you have to pay somebody to take your money and keep it safe. Now, already, if you put your money in the bank, it's not your money. I mean, you said people have a hard time getting out their money. It's not their money, actually. It is a promissory note. It's an IOU from the bank to you for your deposit. And there are guarantees. You know, there are guarantees in the system that the first 100,000 or so is protected. So there are guarantees by the FDIC. But the reality of it is, when you put the money in the bank, it's not your money. It's a debt that the bank owes you. Now, what happens if we go to negative interest rates? You actually have to pay the bank to keep and hold your money. That's a scary proposition. They're seeing it in Europe. What it does is it crushes growth. It really slows down. We saw under the Trump administration, we saw the American economy dramatically expand compared to the socialist European economy with negative interest rates, or the Japanese economy with negative interest rates. If we adopt their same policies, we'll have their same outcome. And it's not a good outcome. It's not a growth outcome. It's not good for entrepreneurs or those who want to build a fortune. In fact, it will crush the poor people worst of all.
And Kevin, now they're talking about modern monetary theory, both on the Republican side and the Democrat side. And as I often say, it's not modern. It's an old idea. And it's certainly not a conservative monetary policy. So it is a hidden tax, however. So they don't have to just tax us. If they want to just pay for something, they just simply print the money. And again, now we're going to be talking about destruction of people's wealth, purchasing power. I mean, we're going backwards here. I mean, if we're really at a 10% annual inflation, someone's income has got to be increasing 10% a year to make up for all the extras they're paying in utilities and what will be soon fuel, thanks to Biden's fossil fuel and attack on gasoline, et cetera. But your grocery bill, I mean, you're running behind. So again, this is why we, you know, again, don't give financial advice, but financial opinion. Historically, that's why we like hard assets, land, you know, farmland. Well, why do you think these rich guys are putting money into so much farmland? They know what's coming. Plus, I think they're trying to corner the market. And I think eventually they're going to make a fortune growing gold out of the ground, i.e. crops. I think that's part of what's coming here. And when you get a corner on the market in the farmland, it'll be amazing what they're going to be able to do. Not to mention some of them in their environmental policies maybe want to see some of those areas just become parks. Who knows what they're planning to do? But this again, you're going to see, I think, farm prices, farmland continue to go up, precious metals going up. Other things that are hard assets, as people understand what's going on with modern monetary theory, the destruction of the U.S. dollar. But Kevin, now they're talking about a digital currency. I mean, if they would turn you off on social media, if they say we don't want you to use our platform to raise money for your nonprofit organization or conservative organizations, I mean, again, coming at it as a Christian, I look at the old you can't buy or sell unless you have a mark. Well, if you start moving me towards some kind of digital currency and eventually also something to show some kind of digital passport to get into a venue for a concert or a game. Hey, it's not long before I got some kind of digital mark that's everything. Your ability, and this is what the World Bank, I mean, we've done TV shows last year, the World Bank, the UN, ID20, they're all pushing and they're saying that can be done for a digital dollar. The US had a digital dollar in their March 2020 coronavirus relief package that got pulled out. But the United Nations, World Bank, IMF, they're talking digital currencies. The Great Reset's going on as we're here today broadcasting. They're over and over talking about a digital currency, a digital economy, a digital society. The president of the European Union Commission was going on that over and over again, as well as was the General Secretary of the United Nations in his speech yesterday. So how quick could you just turn someone's digit off? I mean, just turn off their digit. If you turn off their digit, I mean, forget not being able to get your money out of the bank, as some of them are saying, we're not going to give you that $4,000 or $5,000. What do you want it for? Fill out this form. What if they just decide to turn off people's digits, Kevin?
Well, you know, they are already doing that in China with the social credit score system. If you have done something even as little as jaywalking, or if you have made the wrong comments and somebody's monitoring you and made the wrong comments, they put a social credit mark against you and you're not allowed to fly in an airplane or get on a train. They could very easily take money away from you. In fact, there's a story of a young person living in China. He says, it's just in Beijing, New York, it's all the same. Until one night he goes to dinner and he walks across the street against the light. There's no cars coming, just like he'd done in New York 1,000 times. Walks across the street and then his phone bings and it says, look, oh, you were caught jaywalking. Here's a picture of you jaywalking, because they have cameras everywhere. Bing, here's money that we just deducted from your account. They could just take your money away anytime they want to. And this is something. If you've worried about the wealth gap, over the past 20 or 30 years, we've seen this wealth gap build because the elite have been able to invest in things and control things and so forth. And the poor people have had their money stripped away by inflation or whatever. The middle class has moved a little down. That wealth gap is exacerbated. They claim they're doing this because they care about the masses. No, this is another international criminal cartel type approach, which the Chinese Communist Party is, where they literally suck up the resources, and it goes back to Animal Farm. All animals are equal. Some animals are more equal than others. They are the pigs, and the pigs are literally setting the system. And if they can have digital currency, they can easily move it from one account to another account, and they control it. They can create it out of nothing, out of thin air, and which is modern monetary theory. And for those poor guys that got into Bitcoin early and then accidentally threw out their laptop and want to go through the landfill, you read news stories. I got $200 million sitting in that landfill. If the city will let me go in and find my laptop, that's how easily it can be snapped away. And that is the kind of control a one-world government, it's what's talked about in the Bible, will have. And it's something that we need to prepare for. I don't know if it happens today or 1,000 years from now, but it is inevitable if you believe the scriptures, and it's happening literally before our very eyes. All the things you're talking about, inflation, currency controls, a digital currency, controlling free speech, all of those are what's predicted as a one-world government. And it's a globalist agenda, which is Davos. The Bible talks about God dealing with nations. Nations are at the beginning of Scripture. Nations are at the end of Scripture in Revelation, where God judges nations. The enemy doesn't want nations. The enemy wants one-world government. And then that leads to an Antichrist who's the head of the one-world government.
And you and I are in agreement on that. Absolutely. So I know we have a lot of people who watch our show. Maybe you don't agree with that. Maybe you're not even aware of what we're talking about. But I would urge you to get educated on it, because I'll tell you something. It's hard not to take the Bible seriously when you see all the things the Bible wrote and predicted that have absolutely come true. And the book of Daniel gives the skeptic and critic great heartburn, because even experts on antiquity know that the book of Daniel was written before those prophecies came to pass. How is it the prophet Daniel knew these nations that would come and go and the order they would come and go in? And again, I could go on with the messianic prophecies related to the birth and life and death and resurrection of Christ. Again, we know that some of those books, again, those prophecies, messianic prophecies, were written 250 to 300 years before the birth of Christ. So you want to mock some of this? Well, I wouldn't so much. And that's the great thing about a supernatural book written by a supernatural God. It does give us an idea of what's coming. And in one sense, that helps us to prepare physically and spiritually. Well, before we conclude, Kevin, again, his website is economicwarroom.com. We carry his show over at wvwtv.com. I hope you'll check it out over there, but also all the resources he has, his war plan and all that, free war plan, economicwarroom.com. But Kevin, before we conclude, We have Joe Biden in the White House. His son, apparently, is the bag man that brought home a minimum of $1.5 billion from China and who knows where else. We have them during the Obama administration giving billions back to Iran in cash and property. So it seems as though they are in a relationship with many of the enemies of America. Is Joe Biden being controlled by China? And if so, what are his policies likely to do to help China and destroy America? I'm particularly referring to the fact that China is in an economic war with us, so is Russia and others. But if they're going to a digital currency, their yuan, and they're pushing for this digital currency of theirs, doesn't that create a problem for America? And I know there's the push for a Federal Reserve digital currency here, but I mean, obviously, there's a battle for who's going to have this digital currency and who's going to be running the dollars. I mean, if we move away from a U.S. petrodollar, what will replace it? There's already the SDR, the special drawing rights, I think, created in 1969 by the International Monetary Fund. Talk in conclusion about where we're going with a digital global type currency and who's going to run that. How's that going to work out?
Well, that's the scary thing is the Chinese are leading the pack on this. They've actually bought a lot of gold to back their digital currency, and they have a lot of fake gold potentially backing their digital currency as well. You know, they claim that they have more gold. So I see China as leading this. Most nations are turning to China as a preferred nation to do that. I don't see America having leadership, and the Biden administration may be very compromised from Hunter Biden. But I do have good news, and that good news is that there is a God in heaven who's greater than any government, any antichrist or anything else. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've turned your life over to him, then you have access to the Holy Spirit. You have access to the Bible, which has the prophetic teachings, and you have access to the Holy Spirit, who's our comforter, who comes to help us lead through these very difficult times, can give us wisdom and guidance if we ask for it. And we can turn to the Holy Spirit, who will show us the things that are to come and can prepare us and show us how we can maximize this. Because we live on this life a very short period of time on this earth. We have an eternity that we can spend with God. And the beautiful thing about it is, we can help bring others along with us. That's the challenge. That's the opportunity. So all this tumult will cause people to turn more than ever to look to the God who is in heaven, and we can bring them into the kingdom of Christ. And we won't store up treasure here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. We can put treasure in heaven, and we do that by bringing people to Jesus.
Absolutely. And that's, of course, Kevin's passion, my passion. And at the same time, we're also trying to... Well, the Bible says a godly man leaves an inheritance to his children. I think that's spiritually as well as materially. And so I know for a lot of you are saying, hey, I lived the American dream. I lived at a time when I was able to advance and start a business or have a career. And many of us are worried about our children and grandchildren and wanting to give them a spot. So we concentrate on their spiritual condition first, right? But then we're also trying to help them out in this world where we have to actually buy stuff. So there's that balance between the spiritual and the natural, in the world, not of the world, not putting our hope and trust in this world, but also providing for our family. And Kevin over at the Economic War Room does a great job balancing that, particularly for people of faith that want to have that balance between the spiritual and the natural world. So I hope you'll check out his website. It's economicwarroom.com, economicwarroom.com. And then also, of course, if you want the free packet of information we've been talking about with Swiss America, Wes Peters, you can get that free packet of information on precious metals. Again, I met the CEO of Swiss America over 10 years ago through my friend, our mutual friend, Michael Reagan. They have been a sponsor of many of our conferences and have been very positive about what we're doing here at WVW Broadcast Network. I have worked and dealt with them personally, many of my family and friends have. So again, you can check them out by getting that free packet of information from Wes Peters. You can text him if you prefer, or call 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585. And again, I also hope you'll check out economicwarroom.com, where you'll find his TV shows. And of course, we're really excited to have added him to our lineup at WVWTV.com. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us, for your comprehensive worldview in the area of law and science and economics and history and family and social issues and theology. Very, very hard these days to find someone with a comprehensive Judeo-Christian worldview and one who's not afraid to share it. I thank you for doing that, and I know so does our audience.
Thank you, Brennan. God bless you.
You too, my friend. All right, folks, that includes this installment of the WVW Broadcast Network News and Commentary. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Take care.